Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's good to be together this morning in the praise of God. Welcome. Welcome to those of you who are here this morning. Welcome to those who will watch or listen at another time. During the week, I saw a really brief comment from the commander of the recent Artemis II mission around the moon, and it was posted by the Center for Public Christianity, so I'm assuming that it was true. Okay, and he said this, because he was reflecting upon after they got back to the Navy ship, and he was, like all of them, was still trying to take things in, and he said this: "I'm not really a religious person, but there was just no other avenue for me to explain anything or to experience anything, so I asked for the chaplain on the Navy ship to just come visit us for a minute. And when that man walked in, I'd never met him before in my life, but I saw the cross on his collar and I just broke down in tears. Like, it's very hard to fully grasp what we just went through." One of the other team members, Victor Glover, is a Christian, and he was quite overt with that at various points on the mission, particularly over Easter. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." It was Psalm 8 that Buzz Aldrin read from Earth on the Apollo 11 mission, having landed on the moon. Buzz Aldrin had prepared some verses from Psalm 8 that talk about "When I look at the moon and the stars that you have established, what are we that you are mindful of us?" Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you for the ways that we are able to get glimpses of you in the world around us. We thank you that even now as we gather that you are present with us, and help us to be alert to the ways that you are here with us this day. May what we offer to you now be acceptable in and through that which Christ offers for us. Amen. Our first song this morning picks up a little on that, and certainly provides the opportunity for us to be thankful to God across the fullness of life for us. And we've sung this a couple of times, I think probably now, and we'll stand to sing the goodness of God.
Till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath I know you as a friend. of the goodness of God.
Please be seated. Reading from Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verses 1 to 5. To you, Lord, have I come for shelter. Let me never be put to shame. Incline your ear to me and be swift to save me. Be for me a rock of refuge, a fortress to defend me, for you are my high rock and my stronghold. Lead me and guide me for your name's sake. Bring me out of the net that they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hands I commit my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord God of truth. We pray. Lord God, in these moments we indeed once again give ourselves to you and recognize you as our shelter, as our refuge. We give thanks for all your goodness to us, even in those moments that we were far from recognizing it. Across life, through its ups and downs, we give thanks for your loving kindness to us. We give you thanks for your creation and for the blessings of this life. Above all, for your immeasurable love and grace and mercy in the redemption of this world, a world that you love so much that you sent your only Son to us. Lord, please give us such an awareness, such a sense of your grace and mercy that our hearts may be truly thankful at all times and in all ways, and that we may praise you not only with our lips but with our lives. For Lord, we continue to admit that we need your help, that we have wandered from your way, that we have turned away from you in thought, word, and deed, and at times have failed to do that which is right. We acknowledge that you alone can save us. Please continue to have mercy on us, wipe out our sins, and help us as we seek to forgive one another. Bring forth in us the fruit of your Spirit that we may live the new life that you grant to us and that we may do so to your glory. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour. Amen. First John chapter 4 tells us that in this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the perfect offering for our sins. And so we're able to know with confidence that because of the work of Christ, we are forgiven and we are able to say, thanks be to God. Amen. And so we share a word of peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Morning, everybody. We've got a number of prayer points, which I guess you've all seen. So please pray for all those people. It's a good reminder of different places and people. Like Sylvia's and Margot's families, Evelyn Hamilton, Joy Allen, and others. And for the notices, Coffee and Chat with Reverend David is on again this Wednesday, 10 to 11am at one table. And on Friday is the men's lunch, the 8th of May, 12:15 at one table. Please let you and Perry know if you wish to attend. Women's Fellowship is on the following Monday the 11th, that's at 12:30. And that's going to be at one table again this month. So please let Jan or I know if you'd like to come so that we have an idea of numbers. Cool and Classic Concert is coming up fast. It's on the 24th of May and it's the Best of the Con, which should be great again. And single tickets are available now if you'd like to buy them, or if you'd like to buy them for somebody you know who'd like to come along. So you can get those after church any time from now until the concert. And don't forget the Women's Refuge Collection, as usual, of the non-perishable goods. Thank you.
Thanks, Rosemary. And you'll notice in reflections when you get to read that in regards to Cool and Classic and music lovers that there's this amazing opportunity for us to celebrate some extraordinary musical performances within a few days of each other, and that will be an excellent thing to look forward to. So just to share a few other things of our life together, and Juana and Marion, I'm about to throw you into the deep end shortly about some exhibitions, so just get ready to make a comment or just to say, no, David, I don't want to say anything about it, and then I won't say anything about it, okay? Rosemary mentioned about some prayers for Evelyn Hamilton, whose sister died during the week, and also some prayers for Joy Allen, who is continuing to have some treatments as well at this time, and many of you would know her and David. Also in regards to Margot's family, and want to mention that Margot passed away about a week ago now, and was talking with Justin, her son Justin, late in the week, and there will be a memorial service for Margot. That'll come in due course. They're just having some time at the moment just to arrange some things, but there will be a service that we will have here at some point, and it'll be a memorial service rather than a funeral that at that point, so please stay tuned, and if there are other people who are inquiring about that, just let them know that something will take place in the near future. For those of you who a few weeks ago indicated your interest in being part of this little trial for the Introduction to Christian Faith course, just keep an eye out for some contact this week. I'll send something out this week further about that. And if you weren't here when talked about that, I'm going to do a bit of a 4 or 5 week trial for some kind of Introduction to the Christian Faith course, and was looking for a number of people just to come and to try out a few things. And so if you weren't here at that time, but you're thinking, I would like to be a part of that, please just let me know, and I'll make sure that you're a part of that. And it's looking like we might be able to do one, try something in the day, and maybe try something at night, which will be excellent. So so those who indicated some interest, please keep an eye out for something from me later this week. I want to say a prayer for the Women's Refuge donations, picking them up on Tuesday morning at 10:30. And I just want to pause now and say a prayer for that. We pray. Lord our God, we first of all give you thanks for the generosity of so many folk here that give to support the Women's Refuge. And I pray that as Debbie comes and collects that on Tuesday, that it may go with your blessing upon it, and that it indeed may make a difference in the lives of those who come to the refuge, and women and children and of all ages may be a part of expressing hope in very difficult circumstances for them. And so let your blessing rest upon what we give this week in the name of Jesus. Amen. Juana, do you want to say anything about the exhibition that you've had? I'll just get the Cordis phone. And Marion, I'm just wondering about that, the one out of Ipswich, I think, that you were talking about. If you want to say a brief word about that, that would be excellent. Sorry to throw you in the deep end there.
So I invited three artists to join me, because I usually book the Richard Randall Art Studio in April with a view to hopefully getting people that may be interested in one-off gifts for Mother's Day as well. All right, so this is what I usually have in mind. And if other artists have their exhibitions and they invite me, I go along, of course. So this time we had Shruti. I think you all know Shruti. As another painter, watercolorist, acrylic. She's very prolific. And I also invited a textile artist, Leslie Bright. And she makes these really quirky birds, and she exhibits everywhere. Deborah, in the Royal Queensland Art Society, everywhere. She's actually works full-time. So she said she does 30 hours a week. What do people usually work? 40 hours. 40 hours a week. I'm retired now, so very privileged, actually. 40 hours a week working as a data analyst, I think, and then 40 hours making these birds. So that's what she does. So that was very exciting. And then we also had Monica Anthon join us. She makes bespoke jewellery. Every piece is different. So it's interesting. It's like, we decided to call the exhibition Four Visions, One Space, because we all have a vision of how we see the world and how we portray the world through our art. And that's what we did. It wasn't very, very busy, but, and some people came from church very apologetic because, my walls are full, but really it's an exhibition. So we're just pleased when people come and say hi, have a chat with the artists, and thank you for all those who came to support.
Thanks, Juana. Thank you. Rosemary's just got to... Thanks, Marion.
I want to say that I won a raffle. I couldn't remember what it was. It's a painting by Shruti. But I was so fascinated by Swan Lake, which was the main prize. I didn't look at the others.
Here we go.
The bird. It was... The birds were amazing. On a lazy Susan on a doily that was sort of bluey green and this swan. But these birds are amazing and very imaginative, aren't they?
Yeah.
Aren't they? And great names. They all had names.
Yeah. So maybe if you want to have a closer look at that over morning tea, over char bar, Rosemary would be happy to show you that. Thanks, Marion. And Marion went to... an exhibition out of Ipswich that was thought it'd be interesting to hear something about. Thanks, Marianne.
Oh, it's Leonard Brown's retrospective. He was a Blake Prize religious art, Blake 10. And he moves from realistic through to iconography. There's a whole room of his icons, and then through to abstract work. So it's quite a big exhibition and really worth seeing. Need to take a jacket because it's quite cold in there. And I don't know how long it's on for, but I'd say it'd go for a little while. But it was really gave pause to think about because there's such variety, it's really fascinating and how it impacts, each room impacts you differently. So just like if you can make it down there.
A bit of a Russian Orthodox connection.
He is Russian Orthodox.
Yeah.
And quite strictly Russian Orthodox. So the artwork reflects that as well. Yeah.
Thanks, Marion. And if you've been to One Table recently, you'll notice that as you come in on the left-hand side, get part of the exhibition there, but there's some paintings of some cats, and it's by a student at Kenmore High who's 15, and these are extraordinary. And if you haven't been there, buy a coffee while you're there. Plug for, but it's really these cats are amazing, aren't they? If you've seen them, so go and have a look. She's 15 who painted these things, and I said to someone on Wednesday when I'm there, whatever it is, she's got it. You know, when it comes to art, as man. Psalm 23 is this much loved psalm that we have, and there's at least a couple of hymns that are in the hymn book that are based on Psalm 23. And we sing one of them today, which is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," and we'll stand to sing. Please be seated.
The Bible reading for today comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. After the message this morning, there'll be the offering. Also, just to mention, we'd normally have the prayers of intercession and thanksgiving at that point. I'll actually include that in the Holy Communion liturgy this morning. So just to let you know, that's what's happening there. We pray. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding as we continue to look at this passage and reflect upon life and faith in you. May we know you better, love you more, and learn to please you in all that we do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There are many ways to live your life, many ways to live your life. And by that I mean in what we let shape us, what we let us motivate, shape our motivations, our attitudes, our actions, our goals, our relationships, our conversations. There's lots of things that we might let shape us in those ways. Two of those ways that I want to reflect on this morning is in regards to letting grace shape our lives, our living, or alternatively, to live in a way that does not leave any room for grace or mercy. And that's basically what we'll be looking at over the next 7 weeks or so. And want to do this series over the next 7 weeks, which I've called Encounters with Jesus, Grace Awakened. And we'll be looking at various people that Jesus encounters along the way. And our grace is awakened in those moments. How they receive the offer of grace from Jesus in some shape or form, and how it then shapes their life, how it impacts their life. And so we have here what we'll do over the next 7 weeks or so. We'll look at the story of Zacchaeus. That will be next Sunday. This tax collector who was ostracized from his community. And in many ways, as we look at these, I encourage you to reflect upon their story, but also to reflect upon your own story and are there connections along the way. As you look at this, at Zacchaeus, Jew who was ostracized from his community, and he has an encounter with Jesus that turns his life around. We'll look at when Jesus meets a man with leprosy and of how Jesus meets with him, reaches out and actually touches him. And the extraordinary moment of grace that is expressed in that, when that was the last thing that anyone should do. We'll look at the thief on the cross that has a request of Jesus even there. Around Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, which is not too far away, we'll actually spend a bit of time looking at the disciples. There's another encounter where a huge crowd of people are following Jesus, and he stops in a moment and he realizes that someone has touched his garment. And the disciples are going, well, Lord, everyone has. But there was a particular moment here, and there's a woman who has suffered terribly for 12 years from an ailment. And in this moment, there's an encounter with Jesus. We'll spend some time looking at that. There's another woman that Jesus meets, And in fact, she's brought to him in a moment of humiliation. And we'll look at how Jesus encounters her. At the end of May, 31st of May, Matt Whitaker will be here from Destiny Rescue. And as Matt shares with us, it's not that far from removed from what we'll be talking about when we talk about God's grace and mercy and of the action that follows that. And that's one thing that we'll reflect on just briefly this morning and across these 7 weeks or so, that God's grace comes to us, but it's not simply that. It's not simply God saying, I forgive you, but there's a response that we make to that. There's an action that follows. And so along the way, we'll look at some things of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who talked about costly grace. And for Bonhoeffer, it's costly grace is about recognising that God forgives us, but then there's a call to follow that happens, and it's the call. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. We'll also look at the story of Jean Valjean and Javert from Les Miserables, and which highlights magnificently these two different lives, a life that has been changed and now lives out of grace and mercy, and a life in Javert that is the complete opposite of that, who lives in a way that allows no room for mercy. And so we'll take some time over these weeks to look at that story as well. And then it'll culminate by looking again at the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And, you know, for some of us, you know, we've looked at this 15 million times. But it'll culminate, it's the parable par excellence of where we recognise the heart of God. The heart of God, which we hear in this passage from Ephesians chapter 2 as well. So that's what's coming up over the next 7 or 8 weeks, and including Pentecost that we'll look at as well, encounters with Jesus, and particularly looking at how grace is awakened. And of course, this is what we saw last week, last Sunday, as we shared together in baptism. And I mentioned there that this is this beautiful picture of grace received, acknowledged and realised, and then there's a response to that, acknowledging that this is the way that we will live and how it's important for us at any stage of our Christian journey to recognise that and to look at how we respond to the grace of God that's found in Jesus Christ. And I just want to read this quote from Simon Tugwell from a book called Prayer. And I think in many ways this kind of sums up what the next 7 weeks will be about. He writes this: however many cues we have missed, however many wrong turnings we have taken, however unnecessarily we may have complicated our journey, the road still beckons and the Lord still waits to be gracious to us, as it says in Isaiah 30. The road still beckons and the Lord still waits to be gracious to us. And so this morning I simply want to mention about these and reflect fairly briefly on this passage from Ephesians chapter 2. And as we look at all these stories, as I said, I encourage you just to pause and to reflect upon their story and your story, and about what it is to live a life of grace, to live within God's grace and mercy, and of how that impacts you. And along with that, and hopefully as you came in this morning, you had this sheet here that you might have got, which is a 7-week Bible reading plan from Luke's Gospel. And I'm hoping that over these 7 weeks that you'll keep this alongside you as well during the week. Now, not all of these are from Luke's Gospel. There's from different parts, but there's a few that are. And just want to encourage you and to take the opportunity to read through Luke's gospel over the next 7 to 8 weeks, at least up until the Passion of Christ. Why did I stop there? No particular reason, but it was the 7 weeks, and also we reflected a little bit back at Easter on what took place after Jesus enters Jerusalem. So I've set out some questions there, just some things to think about, but also this plan of certain number of chapters per week, and I really, really encourage you to do that and to take the opportunity to look through Luke's gospel. Because I think here is, as I said, we culminate with the story of the prodigal son, and which tells of the heart of God, and it's a heart that is of grace and mercy, and how that's offered to us again and again, and it's offered to us again here this morning around the Lord's table, where we have the invitation to gather through the grace and the mercy of God. So let's have a quick look at this passage from Ephesians chapter 2, and a couple of final thoughts, and then we'll finish for this morning. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, the first three chapters God has done for us in Jesus, and then chapters 4, 5 and 6, he says, well, this is what it then means in the way that you live. Okay, this is what God has done for you in Christ. This is then how you should live your life. Here is Ephesians chapter 2, and it fits really well, I think, with what we want to look at, because it tells us something about us, and it tells us a lot about God and what God has done for us. And I just want to highlight a few things as we go along here. Initially, Paul here is talking to the Gentiles. He's saying how they lived in a particular way, they walked in a particular way. And walk here is simply a metaphor for life. Their life. This was their former life. This was the way that they walked. He said they were dead in their transgressions. That is, that they were walking in a way that was far from God. That was far from God. We just think it in that simple sort of picture. And as I said at the start, there's ways that we choose to live our life. And is it a life that is turned towards God, or is it a life that is turned away from God? And Paul says here that there was a time when people walked in a certain way, that was a way where people were dead in their transgressions, in their sins. They were spiritually dead. And then he brings it into, well, it's all of us, including the Jewish people as well, that are all in the same boat, so to speak. But then there's verse 4, and verse 4 is the turning point in this passage. But God, starts, but God. But God who is rich in mercy. But God who is rich in mercy, it says. And this is the turning point in this passage. This was the way that we used to live, but God who is rich in mercy made us alive, made us spiritually alive, through Christ. And so here's this statement about the nature of God, that the nature of God is to have mercy, rich in mercy, and the love. It talks about the love here of God in extraordinary, extreme ways. God's love is exceeding love. That great hymn by Charles Wesley, love divine or love's excelling. God's love is the love that excels all other loves. And this is what Paul points to here. The love of God is no small thing. It's an extraordinary and exceeding love that God has for this world. And when Paul talks about world, world is often seen as a negative thing. It's a bit like when he talks about the flesh, that you once lived in the ways of the flesh. For Paul, flesh is a thing that's corrupted. It's not what God would want it to be. But this is the world that God so loved. This is us that God so loved, that Jesus came amongst us. God, who is rich in mercy, and goes on to say that we are saved by grace. That we are saved by grace. Because if you're dead spiritually, you can't do anything to snap out of that. It's completely at the initiative of God. We are saved by grace. We are saved by the initiative of God. And this is what we'll look at again over these next 7 weeks. We are saved by grace alone. And then towards the end, he talks about that we are saved for good works that God has prepared for us. And the prepositions here are really important. The preposition is that we are saved for good works, not by good works. Positions are really, really important. We're not saved by good works. We're saved for God, for good works. Grace happens, the good works follow. It's in that order. We have to live in a certain way that God calls us to live, but it's in a response to the grace of God. The grace of God. Just a couple of thoughts to finish. And as I say, just this morning, it was mainly an introduction to what the next 7 weeks is and to touch on this passage from Ephesians. And when I find... Here we go. You've got the reflections for this month, but last month in April reflections, I did reflect a little bit upon grace. And I gave this quote from Bono and U2, and I've been a fan of U2 for many, many years, and even saw them, and many of you would have been in Festival Hall. Remember Festival Hall? Man, saw U2 in Festival Hall back in 1983, I think it was. You know, I was 7 at the time, but no, I wasn't. No. I was a little bit older than that. And I have followed them ever since, and it's been really interesting to watch their journey, and certainly of late, over the last few years. Bono's always been pretty overt about faith, and as has two of the other members of the band as well. But that's even more so of late. And maybe now, as he's in his 60s, he is reflecting quite deeply upon these things. There was a song that they wrote back that he wrote back in the year 2000, and it was a song about grace. She carries a pearl in perfect condition. What once was hurt, what once was friction, what left a mark no longer stings, because grace makes beauty out of ugly things. We pray. Lord God, as we... launch into this series over the next couple of months, I pray that you'll help us to be open to what you want to reveal to us about the nature of who you are. Draw us closer to you and to have this deeper understanding of grace and mercy and how it is that we are to live our lives, as we pray in and through the name of Christ. Amen. Rosemary's going to play some music, and during that, our offering will be received. Lord God, how extravagant is your love that reached out to us. I pray, giving thanks for your generosity to us. And what we give now is but a fraction of that in response. Pray for your blessing upon what we give, for the furthering of your kingdom in and through the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned, the prayers for others and thanksgiving will be during the our sharing of Holy Communion. So we sing, as part of our preparation for that, You Are My Hiding Place. And Glenda, oh my goodness. Sorry, Glenda. Glenda will sing this through once, and then I invite us to sing through a second time all together. As we begin the second time through, I invite us to stand at that point. Thanks, Glenda. Please be seated.
That's it.
Thank you. Please be seated. One of the things that we'll hear, for those who are assisting this morning, if you'd like to come forward, thank you. One of the things that we'll hear from Dietrich Bonhoeffer over the next couple of months is, again, the sense of costly grace. And he talks about how it's not forgiveness without a subsequent call to action. That costly grace is hearing the forgiveness responding to the call to follow Christ. I hope that as we share in the Lord's table this morning, that you're able to hear God's call, God's word of grace and mercy to you, and of God's call to follow. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. This is an open table to those who would want to meet Christ here and to know him more. So come not because I invite you. It is our Lord, our Saviour, invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. Be present, risen Lord Jesus, as you were with your disciples, and make yourself known in the breaking of the bread, as you did to those two on the road to Emmaus as you gathered in that home. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. On the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at supper with his disciples. While they were eating, he took a piece of bread, he said a blessing, broke it, and gave it to them with the words, "This is my body, it is broken for you. Do this to remember me." Later on, he took a cup of wine, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Drink from it, all of you, to remember me." So now, following Jesus' example and command, we take this bread and this juice, this fruit of the vine, the ordinary things of the world which God will make special. And we come to God with a prayer of thanksgiving and our prayers for others. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give our thanks and praise. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for the life we know in Jesus Christ your Son. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Leading his followers, he guides us. Dying on the cross, he rescues us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. And so we join our voices to those of the church on earth and in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, as we come to share the richness of your table, we cannot forget the rawness of the earth. We cannot take bread and forget those who are hungry. Your world is one world, and we are stewards of its nourishment. We pray for the just and proper use of your creation, for the victims of hunger, fear, and injustice, especially today for the people of Iran and Israel and Lebanon, Syria, and so many places throughout the Middle East, for those within America, Ukraine, and Gaza, so many other places where there is deep need, O Lord. Help us to be open to your grace, that we may journey even closer and closer together, so many in mind this day. Lord, we cannot take the cup and forget those who are thirsty. We pray for all who are unwell, who are saddened, who are struggling with different aspects of life at this time, those who are in any kind of distress or trouble. We cannot hear your words of peace at the table and forget the nations at war, or if not at war, then preparing for it. As we have prayed, Lord, please show us quickly how to turn weapons into welcome signs and the desire for power into a desire for peace. We cannot celebrate the feast of your family at the table and as the body of Christ forget our divisions. We are one in the spirit, but not in fact. We pray for the peace and unity of the church, that the church in its brokenness may be healed and unified. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, for all that you have done and all that you have promised, what have we to offer to you? Our hands are empty, our hearts are sometimes full of wrong things. but with you is mercy and the power to change us. Send to us the Holy Spirit that this meal may be holy and your people may become one. Unite us in faith, inspire us to love, encourage us with hope that we may receive Christ as he comes to us in this holy banquet. We praise you, Almighty Father, through Christ, your Son, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. When we break the bread, is it not a means of sharing in the broken body of Christ? And when we give thanks over the cup, is it not a means of sharing in the blood of Christ shed for us? These are the gifts of God for the people of God. May we who share these gifts be found in Christ and Christ in us. We share now, for all is prepared. Yeah, come around. Perhaps just over to the side here. Or is me the body of Christ broken for you? Coralie, the body of Christ broken for you. Andrew, the body of Christ broken for you. Juana, the body of Christ broken for you. If you could serve. Body of Christ, keep us to eternal life. Amen. Christ shed for you. Andrew, the blood of Christ shed for you. Coralie, the blood of Christ shed for you. Rosemary, the body of Christ shed for you. Amen. The blood of Christ keep us to eternal life. Amen. We pray. Loving God, we thank you that you've fed us in the sacrament, that you've united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. We offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So to our final hymn for this morning, I come with joy to meet my Lord. We stand to sing. As I mentioned, Reflections is available. Again, thank you to Dawn and your very, very small team that helps to produce that. And if you haven't got a copy, then just see Dawn and she'll make sure that you get one. Bill, good to see you this morning as well up there. Great, welcome back. So we shortly share in morning tea over here. And Joycelyn, where are you? I'm pretty sure it's some of Joycelyn's biscuits over there. So just, you know, attack them in a Christian way with each other, that you don't just sort of push each other away. And just remember the minister as well as he... that's it. they're really nice biscuits, sorry. And so as we leave today, we prepare to share in this week and... and hopefully in a way that reflects the grace and mercy of God. We go into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill our high calling as the servants of Christ. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.